Before I begin the actual message, I have to tell you, go ahead, have a seat. I have to tell you a little bit of a funny story. It'll take me 2 seconds because before service, I came up here and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get ready and get my little things up there, get my glasses out and get my phone so I can put my timer on and all those good things, right? Have a pen. I like to check things off as I go along, make sure I got all my key points, you know, and... So I'm going through my notes, and I was like, where's the first page? I'm like, where's the first page? And all I could think of was all day long today, I thought, I'm going to come in there and make a joke about forgetting the first line of the song that I did on Good Friday. I thought, oh, no, the words of my mouth. Oh, I thought I couldn't believe it. They are, and I wasn't even singing out loud. It was just in my head. It was just in my head. Well, no, I got it now. I got it. I knew where it was. I was like, wait, where's the first page? I'm like, oh, man, you got to be careful. The words of your mouth are super duper important. Or the thoughts in your head are, too, actually.
I think everybody should tell the story about the words of their
mouth. Right? Yeah, because it's the truth. It is the truth. All right, so anyway, on Sunday, this past Sunday, after 6 o'clock, my father comes to me and says, hey, you want to preach this Wednesday? Do you have a message ready? I was like, I hesitated, and I'm thinking, how do I get out of this? How do I say no politely? I mean, he's my father. You know, how do I say it nicely? And as I'm scanning my mind for a way to say no, and he goes, well, because Mom said, yeah, she's got a message. She's got 20 years of youth group messages. She's got something in her bag. I was like, thanks, Mom. So I said, yeah, I'm sure I have something. I can look up something and just kind of review it a little bit more because then sure. And I did a little bit later that night. I went to the computer and I found my folder of all my messages and thought, oh, that's a really good one. I'll use that one. And so it was getting kind of late. So I said, I'll go to bed and I'll worry about it tomorrow morning. So at work, I figured I would, on my lunch break, I would read through it. And then at night, I was going to stay at work a little bit longer before my nephew's baseball game. And I thought I'll review it then. So pull into work, dutiful little girl, lunchtime, plug my flash drive in. Guess what? No messages.
Oh.
No messages. And I thought, where was those messages? On the desktop of my computer because my flash drive died. So I had to save them all to my desktop, and so I just keep what I need every day on my flash drive now. So I thought, well, I guess that, you know, isn't going to work. So I thought, no problem. I mean, I've done the message before. I'll go home tonight and I'll review it tonight. No big deal. So I stay at work. I go see my nephew's game. And then after the game, on the way home around 8:30, my mother goes to me, so what's your title? I said, my title? I don't even have a message right now. She goes, what? You don't? I said, no, I do not. I said, but don't worry, it'll happen. I'll get you your title. Don't you worry, okay? She goes, all right, will you let me know as soon as you know? I said, I will. As soon as I know, I'll make sure you know. So then I thought, well, when I go home, I'll just pop my flash drive in and pull that folder on there and work on it Tuesday morning. I'm just reviewing what I've already done before, so I'm not recreating a message. So, get up Tuesday morning, go to work, plug my flash drive in. Guess what? Didn't copy it over. I was like, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? I mean, am I supposed to learn something in this whole entire situation? Because I don't know if I like it. I mean, I'm preaching tomorrow night. And I don't know if you guys know in education, but May is crunch time. May, everything happens. I mean, kids are graduating. There's banquets and ceremonies and certificates, and everything's got to be created by me, literally. Like, I think my fingers are on everything that comes through the office. And so I spend a lot of time staying after work. So I thought, I have to stay after work on Tuesday. But that's okay. I can go home, and I can review that message. Not a problem. I'm just reviewing it. I've already done it. So... it's lunchtime. I get an email from my mother. So what's your title? I said, I don't know what my title is. So I thought I'll be silly and cute and I'll just throw out some funny little things and call it message. You know, or I'll say Leanne's next message to Leanne's words of wisdom. I thought, you know, that'll just generalize, cover everything, and that'll be fine. And then I thought, ooh, as I'm thinking about a title, I thought, well, why are titles important anyway? Who cares about a title? Because, you know, no one really needs a title. I'm preaching, and that should be it. She's preaching. That's your title. So, and then I thought, well, titles are important because maybe somebody wants to read something or listen to something on fear or doubt or salvation. And so instead of saying, well, here's message one, message two, message three, message four, etc., you can go, oh, that one's on fear because that one says, are you scared? All right, and it's probably about fear. So you kind of get that. So titles, I guess, are important. So thus birthed tonight's title, The Importance of Titles. The Importance of Titles. The Importance of Titles. So that is tonight's message title, The Importance of Titles. And of course, yeah, he did, actually, but I'll get to that because that's not even done. You have the story. The story's not even done. I'm getting close, though. So, like I said, so I thought, well, I'm still going to go home. And I thought, well, whatever I write down, whatever I send her, will be my title no matter what I do. I don't even care at this point. I'm just sending her a title just to get off my back. And, you know, the dutiful daughter ways, being kind to mama. So I send her the title. As I'm sending her the title, as I'm typing the title, and I go, oh, this is my message. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. All about titles, right? But then I thought, well, what? And I, all of a sudden, as I said it again, thoughts and scriptures and examples started flooding my mind. I'm like, this is great. But now I'm writing a message from scratch on Tuesday night. Exactly. And I thought, oh, no, but it's going to happen. Because all this stuff started happening right away. I'm like, this is great. And then so as I send off the email, I'm sorry, Dean, I actually may cry right now. It may happen. The Holy Spirit says to me, see? Come on, you can do this. See how I work? And you thought this was your idea. Right. So I sent my message, my title off, and thought this is going to happen. But I still have to stay at work and get some work done. But when I go home, I'll just buckle down and I'll get it because I've done this before. You know, youth group, night before, I'm like, I changed my mind. I'll write this instead. So you just make it happen. But I'm a lot older now, and I need my rest. So anyway, so around 2:30, during the day, I'd sent some emails to teachers that weren't very, I don't want to say nice, but they were things they didn't want to do. So it was going to be a very taxing task. And so I got a lot of flack later on. So one of the teachers told me that some folks came to him and complained about what was happening. And so, of course, I just got so angry. And I was all fired up. And I went back to my office at 2:30 and I said, I have to write a message tonight, and I'm angry. How am I going to do this? Because I am mad. I'm about to write emails and send nasty grams to everybody and just make them pay. And so I stayed at work till about 7 o'clock doing stuff, getting work done. And I talked to my boss, and I told her what was going on. But through all of that, I calmed down. And actually, even the situation worked out really great today. But, so that is, so pretty much last night, I wrote this message in an hour and a half. So let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes, exactly. Well, I did scrub it up a bit today at work and during lunch, and so I think it should be okay. So anyway, the importance of titles, here we go. Are you ready? So according to the world, titles are what identify who we are, what we do, and what status we've achieved. Therefore, we fight for it, we work for it, we cheat for it, and sometimes we just take it. because we are led to believe that with the right title brings recognition and accolades. Can I get an amen? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get, ooh, or you get, oh. So no matter what happens, your title might bring one of those two reactions. Now, when I was in my 20s, about 20 years ago, when I was in my 20s, I ran into an old high school friend. I was out to lunch, and she was married at the time, and she said, oh, hey, how's it going? Are you married? I said, no, not married. Aw, boyfriend? No, no boyfriend. I said, yeah, I'm single. She goes, aw, it'll happen someday. And I was like, really? She is upset for me? Do I look upset? Do I look sad? I don't think so. And I still didn't care. I don't care now. But apparently, though, to her, my title of single defined who I was and my status in life at that moment. I even used to get embarrassed when someone would introduce me as youth leader back in the day. I used to think, me? I don't even want to do this job. You know, it's taxing. And then these kids, you know, they need so much love and attention and guidance. And I'm thinking, I don't know. But then again, I had, in the same other hand, I had fun. Like, we had a good time. It was exciting. And I thought, I don't want to be called youth leader. Stop introducing me. Is that just say, hey, this is Leanne, and she deals with those kids? Like, that's just do that. But, you know, it was never my goal to become youth leader. It was never my dream or desire. I did want to volunteer, though. I thought, oh, I want to help. And so one day in 1996, Pastor Bannon says, I think you should be youth leader. I said, all right. If you think I can do it and you trust me, all right. But some people think, well, when I'm named blank, or when I become blank, I'll be respected. I'll get the due that I deserve. Primary example, look at our current president. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but isn't president like one of the highest titles anyone can hold in the U.S. of A?
Right.
How much is he getting respected and accolades? Not much. Now, please don't misunderstand me tonight. This is my disclaimer. Because what I'm about to share with you regarding titles can seem tricky. Titles are necessary. You need titles. They're important because they identify who's in charge. They identify who's responsible for what duties. The chain of command is important. So don't go home and say tonight, well, Leanne said titles are bad, so no more titles in our house. From now on, you refer to me as person who provides food, not mom. So that's my disclaimer. But the problem isn't the title. The problem starts when all we see is the title. And what the title could do for us. If we want to be promoted wherever it is, in whatever situation it is, we need to let God be the promoter. Let him give the titles. Turn to Isaiah 41:13. You thought I wasn't going to give a scripture verse, but I did. Isaiah 41:13. I have them all written down, so I'll just be patient while you guys flip there and get there, and or click there, whichever you do. I click there. So Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." So don't stress over what you need to hopefully accomplish to make get somewhere in life, because right there, God is saying, I will hold your hand. Don't fear, I'm going to help you.
Amen.
Go to Psalm 30, verse 1. Let God promote you.
Amen.
So, Psalm chapter 30, verse 1. He says here, I'm sorry, actually, it's David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Again, I'll read it. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have promoted me.
Yeah.
And have not let my peers rejoice over me.
Yep.
God's got you. Let him put you where you need to be.
Amen.
Be used where you are. Thrive within your current title, whatever that title may be. Do all you can to further God's kingdom where you are. If you want to turn to 1 Kings 1, I'm going to spend some time there. I'm not going to read it all. I thought about it, but it's long, and there's a lot of names in there that they say over and over and over again that are really hard to say. So we're going to go to 1 Kings 1 and spend some time there and learn about a guy named Adonijah. 1 Kings chapter 1. We're going to spend some time there. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. So this is pretty much all of 1 Kings chapter 1. So Adonijah, in this chapter, promotes himself to king. Let's see what happens. So King David was very old. He was dying. So his advisors decided to find him a woman who could take care of him on his deathbed until he passed, to kind of like make the rest of his days feel a little better. And her name was Abishag, a Shunammite woman. Now, since he was dying, this meant that one of his sons would be the next king, right? So Adonijah took it upon himself to promote and proclaim himself as the next king without telling Dad. He just did it. So Adonijah threw himself a party to boot. He said, I'm going to be king. Let's have a party. So he sacrificed some animals. He got some mighty men to join his ranks. He got some advisors to come around him. And he just said, but here's the thing, though. He did not invite David's closest advisors or his brother Solomon. He didn't invite them because I can only imagine that Adonijah knew in his heart it was wrong to do what he did.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to invite the people that are going to make me feel bad about it or call me on it. So now Nathan is a prophet, and he was one of King David's closest advisors. Nathan the prophet. Those are one of those names, but that one's easy to say. But Nathan heard about this, what Adonijah did, and ran to Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba was Solomon's mom. And so he ran to her and said, did you hear what happened? Do you know what Adonijah just did? He proclaimed himself to be king. What should we do about this? What are we going to do about this? And she's like, well, my son's supposed to be the next king over Israel, not Adonijah. So they devised a plan. They devised how they would go in and tell King David, who had no idea what was going on, by the way, again, and how they were going to tell him that what Adonijah did, and then also how to get them to make Solomon king. So Bathsheba went in first. She did her speech, and then she left, and then Nathan the prophet jumped in next and said, yeah, did you hear? So they kind of tag-teamed with the same information, and David said, don't worry, I got this. King David said, it's all good. I'll take care of it. It's fine. So, while Adonijah was partying, Nathan and Bathsheba, wait a minute. I already did that. Moving on. David agrees now to make Solomon king. Excuse me. All right. So David agrees now to make Solomon king. So he calls Nathan in, and he calls his advisors in, and he calls Bathsheba back in, and he calls everybody back in, and he says to all of them, I want you to take my son, Solomon, put him on my mule, take him down to Gihon, and anoint him as king over Israel. I'm so sorry. That's like so loud in this thing. Anyway, so that's what they said to do, and so they listened. So they went down, and they took Solomon down to Gihon, and they anointed him as king over Israel, the next king. And when he said do that, at the end he said, make sure, though, once you anoint him, let it be known. Oh, no. It's not going to be good. He said, let it be known. He said, sound the horn and shout, sing, and dance with joy. At this point, Adonijah and his many guests began to hear the ruckus outside and the noise that was happening. And Adonijah was then informed, oh, yay, thanks, was then informed that David had just anointed Solomon as king. Thanks, Mama. So he was just informed that David had made Solomon king over Israel. At this point, all of Adonijah's guests and advisors got really scared. Because they thought, oh, no. We kind of knew this was wrong to begin with, but we just went with it because, what are you going to do? It's Adonijah, and he's king now, so let's just do this. But when they found out that now Solomon's king, they said, yeah, we're going to go. So they all left. And then finally, even Adonijah at this point said, yeah, I think I did wrong the way I did it, maybe. I don't know. So he asked Solomon to spare his life and not sentence him to death. And Solomon said, all right, if you prove yourself worthy enough, I'll spare your life. Now go home. Now go home. But the saga continues. So it worked out. King David anointed Solomon as king, even though Adonijah proclaimed himself as king without telling anybody, just taking it upon himself to give himself that title. After David's death, Adonijah again persuaded or tried to persuade Bathsheba to convince King Solomon to permit him to marry Abishag, who was King David's nursemaid at the end of his life, which became his wife in a way at the end because she became part of his harem. And therefore, what Solomon thought was, wait a minute. If Adonijah is trying to marry Abishag, then that leads me to believe that he still wants the throne. He still is trying to get some way to get in to say, I need to be king over Israel. But Solomon said, yeah, I'm done with this. Kill him. He said, I'm done with that. I'm over this. This is too much for me to worry about. Let's just take this, just make this end. So he ended his life. So Adonijah, because he wanted a title so bad of king and promoted himself and then tried again later on to do it in a sneaky way, ended up dead. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that if you try and find a title somewhere, try to buy for a position somewhere, if it goes wrong, it doesn't mean you're going to die.
That's right.
That's this story here. But maybe it won't work out so well. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll be hurt along the way. Maybe disappointed, discouraged in some way because you tried the wrong way or fought for something that didn't belong to you just yet.
There you go.
So again, let me say, wow, that was fast. If we want to be promoted, we need to let God do the promoting.
Amen.
We need to let him give the titles.
Yeah.
So let's go to Matthew 25, and we're going to read verse 23. Man, I timed this thing out to be like 35 minutes, but I guess I didn't drag my conversation on long enough. I guess I didn't. I tried. That's all right. That's all right. I said what God wanted me to say. Amen. It's all that matters, right?
That's right.
So Matthew 25:23, it says this. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, so I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." This was based on the parable of the talents, where three men were given several different talents. One man was given five, one man was given two, and another man was given one talent. So the two men that were given more than one went out and doubled their profits. Came back and said, "Look what we did for you." And then the guy with the one said, "I'm going to go bury this over there and hide it. And then come back and dig it up and say, see, I saved it." Nothing happened to it. But he said, no. God's like, no, that's not what I wanted to happen. I wanted you to take what I gave you and work with it. Make it grow. And so what he did when he saw the two servants who did multiply their fruits, he said, "Great, thank you, excellent, great job. Because you were faithful over some small things, I'm going to promote you to be ruler over many things." Go to Joshua 3:7. Joshua 3, verse 7.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you. Joshua 3:7, it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua," God's talking to Joshua, "this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." I'll read it again. Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to promote you in the sight of all Israel. I'll give you a title so that they will know that as with I was with Moses, so I will be with you." God does the promoting.
Amen.
Let him promote. Don't be disgruntled where you are currently, whatever your title may be, whatever it is. God has you there for a reason.
Amen.
Work in it. Flourish in it. Thrive in it. Use it. Because when God promotes, God wants to use you to do mighty things in that promotion. It's not just to be promoted to be promoted. So finally, turn with me to 1 Peter 5:6. But I didn't write this one down. This was a last minute throw-in, so I got to look it up myself. I mean, I kind of know what it is, but I want to quote it perfectly. 1 Peter 5:6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, that he may promote you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you."
Yeah.
Now, I want to do what my father always does and take it to the message.
Yeah.
And all I got to do is click, 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 and now I got the message. What? All right. So, where is my verse 6? That's the only thing bad about the message, though. It doesn't always give you the matching verses. Exactly, yeah. So, but I think we're good, though, here. And the message says here, "So be content with who you are and don't put on airs."
Come on.
God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Live carefree before God, because he is most careful with you. Let God promote. Let him give the titles.
Yeah.
I have delivered what I have received.
Amen.
Any questions, comments, or concerns?
Next time,
bring up the dead.
Next time your mom asks me for a title, I'm going to tell her to go to God.
That's right.
That was a very powerful message.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I just realized I never prayed to open up the service. It just dawned on me. I never prayed to open up the message tonight. So I'm going to close it with prayer. How about that?
How about that?
Oh, dear Jesus. We just come to you tonight, and we just thank you that we're able to have fun, and we're able to laugh and hear the word and learn about who you are, and that your word is timeless, and it never grows old, and that we continue to learn even from King David in the Old Testament and Adonijah. Lord, I thank you for their example, and I thank you for showing them to us. Lord, I thank you that you will continue to be with us and to guide us and to be able to grow in the position where we are, to thrive where we are, Lord, so that we can promote you, so that you can be the one who is extolled and exalted and put on a pedestal, Father God, so people know you and learn you. So, Father, I just thank you again. I thank you for giving me wisdom. I thank you for helping me to bring this message across to these amazing people. And I thank you, Lord, also for your traveling mercies. As they go their separate ways tonight, I thank you to be with them. Heal their marriages. Heal their relationships with their family and their friends, Lord. Let their work jobs be, they promote themselves, and not promote themselves, but Lord, I ask you that they are succeeding and successful in their workplace, Father, and I just thank you for the amazing God that you are in our lives, and I just can't thank you enough. So in your son's name, I pray and agree, and everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.